live from the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island. It's Cofield and Company.
It's Friday, gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend. Partying.
Yeah! All right, a little tweak. We don't comment on rejoins and music on this show. That's a waste of time. Willie Ramirez is here. He had a look in his eyes. It was the gleam. It's a Friday. It's a football Friday. James is here as well. Griffin with the slides, with the phone. He's running the show. Today is Bring Your Manners to Work Day. It's also a no-conflict Friday, which makes it really tough when we pick games because there's going to be some conflict.
Oh,
William, you've got a sweatshirt on. You're the only man in Las Vegas who apparently is cold. What's going on, my friend?
It's hoodie weather. I wear hoodies 12 months a year. I tell people that. Middle of July, I'm wearing a hoodie.
Are you constantly trying to sweat off weight?
No, because guess where I'm at? I'm not outside in the middle of Las Vegas. I'm indoors. Guess what the temperature is in my house and in my car? It's 67.
Oh, really?
So it's not hot. You walk outside. Now, if we were doing this show outside, which I don't like sitting outside for more than 10 minutes, I don't park. I mean, the parking lots that I park in, it's quick.
I sat outside. They had the rooftop parking in the garage open today. I sat out there for like 7 minutes. I was like, this car is going to work. This AC is going to work.
Think about that.
What?
You sat out there in the car.
I had work to do.
You do outside stuff on Thursdays. You're not sweating off of nothing.
I know. It's not working at all.
It's not.
I know.
So, I mean.
I just put out a video up on IG, and I look puffy. I think it's the shirt. It's not slimming.
We call that frumpy.
Frumpy is, that should be actually my name. Let's go with Frumpy and Company.
Frumpy and Company.
That's a catch to it.
I was at just...
Now, already, you're not being polite. This is Bring Your Manners to Work Day.
Exactly.
Attacking me. This is an HR violation.
Listen, I crinkled my face when the show started because it's a different version
Don't do it.
I was thrown off guard.
This is what Doug Gottlieb does on his Fox show, and I like his Fox show, but they waste like 6 minutes combined the entire show talking about the stupid rejoin music. We don't do that here. We have too much content to get to. Big football weekend right out of the gates. Tonight, high school football.
Yeah.
High school football, televised, Mater Dei. That coach at Mater Dei called out Gorman. He has moved on now. But Mater Dei is going to take on Bishop Gorman in Southern California. Good showdown. I'm excited for that.
Yeah, the last time – now, they've met several times, but the last time I think it was as hyped as it is tonight, I covered the game myself in the press box's Ed Graney. We drove down there and –
Well, Ed's an alum, right?
Ed is an alum, but it was because Gorman had put their 55-game win streak on the line. It was a three-time mythical national champion, defending national champ. And Bishop Gorman went down there with Dorian Thompson Robinson taking over as quarterback, Brevin Jordan as his tight end.
Wow.
I think Speedy Naylor might have been on that team. But unfortunately, on the other side, at the time, JT Daniels was a highly, highly, highly touted quarterback. The person that I wanted to see most that didn't play in that game, even though Mater Dei won, snapped the 55-game win streak, Monroe St. Brown.
Oh, really?
Because I had just met the two of them in February earlier that year when they were juniors at the Adidas National 7-on-7 tournament at Desert Breeze, and Amon-Ra was the standout athlete of the entire.
At both the 7-on-7 and the game, did you just hang out like on the Mater Dei sideline and just talk weightlifting? Did you go to John Brown, his dad?
In February,
that'd be the thrill of your lifetime.
In February, during the 7-on-7, I talked to his dad later that night on the phone back at home. And, of course, the whole conversation was about our sons being body, you know, him being a bodybuilder, my son being a bodybuilder, and then how he raised his son.
2 hours?
In that, easy.
Yep, I knew it.
Easy.
That's a guy you connect with.
But at Mater Dei, we sat in the press box, which was humid and sweaty and nasty and funky.
Okay, well, it's the high school press box.
Yes.
You're lucky they have one.
But I will tell you this. That stadium that they play in, their home stadium, I can't confirm this, but this is what it reminded me of, and I think it's the exact stadium. When I played Pop Warner football, I played twice in my life. The second year, we won the Junior Pee Wee Championship and got to drive down and play the equivalent of their Junior Pee Wee and Pop Warner, their champions. And I think it was just called Orange County. It was something stadium. But when I tell you that it all came back. I think it was that stadium.
Oh, really?
And it had been there, and then it became Modern Day's home. Yeah, I think because Modern Day's been there. Ed couldn't confirm it for me, but I'm almost positive that is where we play.
Did Ed trade his football stories playing days with you?
What football playing days?
UNLV home opener, Utah Tech at the Owl tomorrow, noon. We'll have the pregame right here at 11 o'clock, the Learfield Ted Wiens pregame with Matt and Everett, myself, and Caleb Herring. Again, tickets are still available. We got some tickets here, too. If you want to come down, parking is free at Treasure Island. We've got some tickets to give away. Grab your tickets for the game tomorrow. They're hoping for a real big crowd. It's trending that way. A lot of students are turning out. They gave away free tickets for the students. UNLVtickets.com. And season tickets are still available. As low as $150 a seat for six games. You can get into the club seating for as low as $350. Big game for the Raiders as well. This schedule is not easy, and it comes out in a freaking frenzy. The Chargers have some question marks. Raiders are going to go to the Ravens. We'll talk about the Ravens and Chiefs from last night. So yep. They really need a win here. And frankly, Raider fans and Raider Nation have been talking a lot of trash for that very important game at the end of the season last year when they hung 500 points on them.
And they truly, that just goes along with this rivalry is the trash talking. But, I think coming into the season, I think both of them have to make it. I think they feel the pressure of having to make a statement. I heard the words must win yesterday on the early morning show on Sportsmanlike heading into this, the Chiefs and Ravens, that the Ravens had to treat it like a must win. Yes, in week one. I think both these teams Sunday feel that pressure. Division game right off the bat. You only get six of them. And the Raiders really do, especially with the decision to go with Gardner Minshew, not getting a quarterback in the draft and doing what they taking the route that they did. Devontae Adams, the receiver, is he happy? Isn't he unhappy? Whatever the case is. Injury report just came out for Friday. We'll go over that. I'm sure we'll hit that in a little bit. So I definitely feel it's a must win for both. Just not in terms of how these teams are going to end up at the end of the season. Is it going to make or break them? It could, but the bottom line, it's a must-win in terms of how you start the season to get into the chemistry and the flow of the season.
With the Ravens coming up short last night, can we do an overreaction Friday?
Sure.
Lamar Jackson simply cannot beat the Chiefs in the biggest games.
It's not an overreaction. He just can't. There's just some – and I watched that guy. I've said this since the day that they played Monday Night Football here. He is the most talented athlete, not quarterback, athlete – in the National Football League, in my opinion. Lamar Jackson is, in my opinion, the best athlete overall. But there are situations, there are teams, there are games that he just can't provide the big play or makes a bad decision here or there. He just can't, and the Chiefs have his number for whatever. Now, that throw and that catch, I don't know who you put that on. Because he placed it as best he could, and the kid was, a toe tap out. Huh. So, nevertheless.
Well, the problem isn't that one. It's a pass before. Because their wide receiver, Zay Flowers, is wide open in the back of the end zone, right. And he throws a mile behind him.
Right.
You got to make that pass. You got to complete it. And on top of that, people are starting to freak out because Harbaugh put up the two. He's going for two. Especially on the road, he's going for two. He went for a fourth down that gave the ball to the Chiefs in the middle of the game, in the middle of the field. That's what he does. And by the way, I think it was it Kevin Harlan who was on the radio call, whatever radio call I was listening to, and you hear, that gamble failed. It's not a gamble.
It's not a gamble.
If it's fourth and three and the percentages say go for it, it's not a gamble. Now, is it dangerous against the Chiefs because they can do damage more so than anyone else? Yes. Yes. Maybe the percentages should drop down a point or two. So we're here on Fridays, also on Saturdays now. Throw the Flag is back, 9 to 11 a.m. with Danny and Jared. You can check out College Football Game Day. They're going to have experts on, including someone from the UNLV broadcast crew who will preview every UNLV game on Saturday or review it because they have a lot of Friday games. And remember, breakfast is dynamite here at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar. You can go the healthy route with the granola parfait. They've got the breakfast sandwich, the meat lover's quesadilla, chorizo con papas, breakfast bowl. It's all here Friday, Saturday, Sunday, really all week long at the Golden Circle.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island. on ESPN, Las Vegas.
That gets you the 15. It wasn't inside the opening. This is the speedy man, Xavier Worthy, the fastest man to the end zone right away. His first touch, a Kansas City touchdown.
Absolute nightmare for the AFC West. Absolute nightmare for NFL fans, AFC fans, to hear Xavier Worthy there on NBC. Tirico on the call. Go in for one, not only one, but two touchdowns, Willie Ramirez. And I immediately got a text last night from one Adam Hill, who, if we all remember, what did he say before and then shortly after the draft about Xavier Worthy? Wide receiver out of Texas. Before the draft, he said, the rest of the NFL absolutely cannot let the Chiefs get Xavier Worthy. And then what happened during the draft? The Chiefs were not in a position to get Xavier Worthy. They call up the morons with the Bills, who, by the way, if you remember, the Bills were the ones who were like, here's a pick in a prior draft. And the Chiefs are like, thank you. We'll take this guy, Patrick Mahomes. And as Adam Hill said, don't let the Chiefs get bad hands Tyreek Hill. And the Bills traded their first-round pick to the Chiefs so they could move up to 28. They got Xavier Worthy, and he goes out last night running of whatever he runs, a 3-5-40, and gets a couple of touchdowns. Thanks, Bills! Thanks, Bills! Thanks, Bills! Appreciate it! All right, let's talk Chargers and Raiders. Chris Rim from ESPN.com is on with us. Willie Cofield, we're out here at Treasure Island. Chris, I'm a little worked up. How you doing, buddy?
Good. How you doing?
Pretty good. Pretty good. I live with. I didn't really mean that because I cannot stand the Chiefs. But even worse, my girlfriend is a Chargers fan, and she was beside herself last night too, watching Xavier Worthy excel. So in this division, I think it's the job of the Raiders and the Broncos to create some trouble for the Chiefs as they did last year. I think it's the Chargers primarily that need to be a thorn in their side. So let's talk a little Chargers specifically before we get into the matchup against the Raiders. Do any of the Charger vets or did any of them mention the game last year to close out the series when the Raiders hung 1,000 points on them? Did they go back into the memory banks and bring that up?
Yeah. I mean, you know, a lot of them are trying to, you know, play it down, but Derwin James did not. He said when he saw the Raiders on the schedule for week one, he said, let's effing go. He was excited to see that. He said, you know, you can't embarrass me like that. He said, it's a game that stuck with him. He was on the field for that game. He lit up a touchdown in that game. Guys are thinking about it. I think a lot of them are trying to downplay it, but guys are definitely thinking about that. How could you forget it?
Chris, with so many different name players, skill position players, I think one of maybe possibly an overlooked matchup for Thursday's or Sunday's game between the Raiders and Chargers is offensive tackle Thayer Munford up against Khalil Mack. Considering we're talking about Gardner Minshew, I remember last year when Aiden O'Connell took over as starter, I believe it was against Khalil Mack, and he went off. How big is this, I mean, is this game always for Mack? And in terms of the interior linemen and your edge rushers and down there against the Raiders offensive line, which is always a question mark, is this going to be?
Yeah, I mean, I think Khalil, one thing I wanted to point out with Khalil was that he obviously had the six sacks in that game with Aiden O'Connell last season. He's talked about how much that game has been somewhat of a sticking point for him because people bring that up to discredit the 17 sacks he's had last year to say that, he wasn't really dominating in the way. The numbers are misleading or the numbers are inflated. So I think he's looking, to prove something in that game. And Joey Bosa, who's missed so much time with injury, and they have Bud Dupree and Tui Pelotu behind there with that O-line. That's a motivated edge group. Against that O-line. So, yeah, I think they could pose some trouble for sure because of how motivated that group is.
Let's talk about early impressions here. We haven't seen a game yet from the Chargers, but what are your impressions of Harbaugh?
I mean, Harbaugh is exactly what everybody says he is, right? He's you know, he's funny. He's, you know, maybe a bit strange, but he's you know, as good as advertised. There's nothing exaggerated about what he does. There's cleats every day. He doesn't wear khakis as much as I guess he did at San Francisco. But all the players seem to love him so far. And the thing I'll say about this time of the year too is, right, it's hard to lose your players when you're undefeated, when you're 0-0, you haven't lost a game yet. So it makes sense that everybody's eating up what he's putting down and loving that he's working out with players and all that. But we'll see how that changes depending on how this team navigates this season.
In terms of sharpness from Justin Herbert, do you think he'll be sharp, and where's the foot now?
Yeah, Justin, the foot, there's never been an issue that we've seen that's limited him on the field. You know, he had a plantar fascia injury to his right foot. He was in a boot for 2 weeks. When he came back to practice, the offense, which looked, you know, dreadful for 2 weeks, all of a sudden looked great. He was rolling out right, running, making unbelievable throws. You know, it was, you know, kind of forgotten, you know, how, you know, some of the talent that the Chargers had at receiver, because, you know, guys just weren't getting great balls in the time before then. And when Justin came back, so he's looked great, man. He doesn't look like there's any issue. He said he's 100%, and he's not very worried about the injury lingering. So yeah, there are no limitations with Justin.
Going back to key matchups, Devontae Adams obviously is going to be a key component to make Gardner Minshew comfortable. A couple of cornerbacks on the Chargers injury report, both questionable, Tarheeb Still and Asante Samuel Jr. I know Asante was limited in practice today. That secondary a bit banged up?
Yeah. Asante was a new addition to the injury report today with a shoulder injury, questionable for Sunday. Yeah, if Asante is out, that'll be a big concern for the defense because of, you know, it's a secondary that has struggled last season. He was a part of it, but he is the team's, you know, best cornerback going up against one of the league's best receivers in Devontae Adams. And I'll add, a motivated Devontae Adams after the Chargers social media posted this offseason, in their schedule release rollout, a Pop-Tart graphic, and they posted a garbage trash themed Pop-Tart, and Devontae was next to it, and Devontae called the Chargers social media team trash and all the above. And so he's motivated. He's already dominated this team, and he's motivated. And their top cornerback is limited today with a shoulder injury. It doesn't make for a good situation for the Chargers. So yeah, there'll be a lot of concern there.
By the way, Devontae Adams knows football. He knows nothing about social media. Anyone who calls the Chargers social media team trash is clueless, because they are the best, maybe in all of sports.
Speaking of Chris Rim from ESPN.
Your reaction, Chris?
To my reaction to the social media team?
Yeah.
I mean, I think the Chargers social does a great job, man. I think, I agree with you. I think Devontae, I don't know. I think these great players, they try to find motivation anywhere. And I think he tried to find motivation with this social media post. But it's like, it's just a fun, you know, a fun joke. And like you said, one of the best social teams in all the sports. They go viral for everything they do. They have so many creative ideas and have so much fun with it that I was a bit surprised that he took so much issue with that. So I think if that's what Devontae needs to get motivation, if that's what will get him going, then good for Raiders fans, I guess.
Once again, speaking with Chris Rim, covers the Chargers for ESPN. So we saw Kansas City last night, which I think is everybody's favorite to win the AFC West, and then there's the question mark as to which team could challenge. Chargers, Raiders, Broncos, who finishes where? Your take as far as covering from Inglewood, as far as the rest of the division as a whole?
Yeah, I mean, I think after the Chiefs, it's anybody's fair game, right? I don't think you really look at a team and say one or the other. I mean, I guess if I was looking at the teams, I think the Raiders and the Chargers, I guess at least on paper in my mind, will be a little bit better than the Broncos. And I think those two teams, I guess, would have more of a shot at challenging the Chiefs to take this division. I don't think there's any chance. I don't think there's a high chance that either of them do so. But I do think the Chargers and Raiders are the most likely to do so. Obviously, the Raiders fared well against the Chiefs last year with AP. And the Chargers, obviously, new regime, new scheme, new faces everywhere on offense and defense, and Jim Harbaugh, Justin Herbert, as everybody believe in what they can do. But I want to say in my mind that there's an edge, at least from what I've seen, between the Chargers and the Raiders. But I think they have a higher chance than the Broncos if I was looking at it.
So, Chris, I'm looking at your Twitter page, scrolling down just to see some of the stories. Wanted to make sure I retweeted something for you. The cover photo is of one Caitlin Clark, but I'm also wondering, is that you on press row there?
Yeah, that's me on press row at the women's Final Four 2 years ago after they beat South Carolina, Aaliyah Boston. And Caitlin ran over to where I was at on the sideline, and she was lifting her jersey and talking a bunch of smack and telling everybody what she just did. And I was sitting there, you know, chronicling history.
That was 2 years ago, so that means you were also courtside for Angel's point to the finger.
Yep, I was right there. That was special. It was a special game. I never forget it.
All right, so then I'd be remiss if we didn't ask you what your take is on the new era of WNBA and all the narratives that have been created with Reese and Clark.
Hey, man, I think it's great, man. I mean, you think about it, right? Like, what, you know, a couple years ago, would you have been asking about talking about the, I don't know, maybe you would have, but I don't know if you how much you'd be talking about the WNBA, you know, on your show. I think Caitlin and Angel are a big reason why people are talking about the league and the team that plays in Vegas, right? I think the team that, you know, I think the Aces, I think Asia Wilson, people, they were already generating steam with the league. And then I think Caitlin and Angel, you know, I think people watch things. Sports are our role in this. It's a lot like movies, right? And a lot like TV shows. Like, you have heroes, you have villains, you have people you like, people you root for, people you don't root for. And that makes people want to hate watch or love watch. So I think a lot of people are hate watching both of those players and love watching both of them. And in turn, the ratings are going up. So I think WNBA is in a great spot.
Chris, we appreciate your time, buddy. Thank you so much. That was really good.
Thank you.
There he is. Chris Rimm, ESPN.com, Philly guy. We'll have to get him on later in the season, talk a little Philly stuff.
Shout out to
maybe Salerno will be on that day. Who knows?
Shout out to our boy PG. He's part of the ESPN NFL Nation brethren. Paul Gutierrez hooking that up for us.
We're going to go over the division odds later on for the AFC West. We'll get our official call on Charger season over under for the wins. A little UNLV coming up with the opener tomorrow. We're about 15 minutes away from talking to the coach of Utah Tech. I want to remind you, on Mondays, we got a new home. We're going to be at Ellis Island in the front yard. They've got specials like $30, all you can drink on the beers. That's NFL Sundays and Mondays. 15-plus beers to choose from, not only their craft beers, but other beers that you guys might prefer instead of the craft. I love the craft. I love the Hefty over there. $45, all you can eat. I just the other day was at the front yard having some lunch, brisket sliders. You know, we tell you all the time about the pork belly bites. Great menu. And then happy hour's going on. How about this? Happy hour into the game. We'll be on 3 to 6 into the game. And then we'll be hanging out during the game, giving away prizes, registering you guys for season-ending prizes. Happy hour, they've got $7 bites and $7 drinks. So, I mean, there's a lot of specials for Monday night. They're a tremendous partner. The Front Yard, Ellis Island, on Monday with Cofield and Company. For more information, check it out, ellisislandcasino.com.
Hanging at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island, it's Cofield and Company.
Back here at Treasure Island, I think Mr. Ruffin's on the scene. Willie's on his best behavior. He's got a—I don't know what's going on. This for me, Griffin. I don't think you've ever witnessed. I know James has. This is deja vu because Mark McMillan, for a while on Instagram Live, you'd be doing the interview with him, and he's like gesturing and dancing as you're asking him a question because he's talking to the people on Instagram Live as he's being interviewed, and now Willie is like full blown TikToker. And you're rolling live video, and so you just got a nice chicken. By the way, that salad,
ridiculous.
I mean, hey, right?
Oh, forget about it.
Yeah, it's. I mean, and you're like you're holding the salad up to the TikTok.
Yeah, but the
crowd.
Difference between the difference between grilling and I is I'm not doing gestures and being distracted while our show is going on.
I don't know about that. The other day on Wednesday,
that was the first time. That was Wednesday. So, we were building it up,
right, Griff?
Hey, you know what? I was in a battle last night with Vanessa, whose real name is Janessa. Her and her husband are big Raiders fans.
Yes.
They're now going to be Cofield and Company fans. They're going to dial in. They're going to jump in the live soon. They're going to be sharing it out.
Okay.
They want to start listening.
Well, Griffin, when I need to lean on you when Willie's doing his other show, Make sure you're ready, okay?
I got my guy, the Mac, in here. We're rolling.
I don't know what's happening
right
now.
I got
my TikTok dances ready to go.
We're doing two shows.
Griffin, get on TikTok.
We're doing two. Yeah, go. That'd be great. I'd be like, what do you think, Griffin?
Hey, I know. James is on TikTok.
I see him looking away. I look to James. He's on it. I'm like, okay, I'm doing solo.
Yeah. It's just Cofield.
I never know who's going to write this. Yeah, you're right. This block is Cofield. Sometimes it's Cofield and Company. Never know. Or Frumpy and Company, as we named it earlier.
Frumpy and Company.
Are you going to the UNLV game?
Absolutely.
You are?
Yeah. I might even lay the 35.
Really?
Sure.
I didn't see the number posted. Just came out?
I got...
you got inside?
Yeah.
A little inside info.
From our close friends at the... Not well, we're at a different place today. Yeah.
So I don't know if it's up everywhere yet. We'll go find out. We didn't get to look at the board here.
I'll tell you where when you promote later, because you will be promoting something later. I'll tell you in the article. Okay. That's where the line's
at. Let me think about the 35. Okay. While we do that and while you host your TikTok show and eat your salad, I'm going to do a giveaway. 364-1100, 364-1100. Lakers and Golden State are here in October. I mean, he's like mocking me to his TikTok. I don't know what's happening here. October 15th. At the Fortress, T-Mobile Arena, AXS.com, AXS.com, Lakers and Golden State. Caller 7, 364-1100, 364-1100. I will say this about the game. I don't know about the spread, but I certainly, and this is not Brainiac territory, I know the Rebels would like to handle Utah Tech, get it done as early as possible, staying healthy, getting a win. Then staying healthy is paramount, as they have a monster game on the horizon, on the road, in Kansas. And again, reminder for everyone, it's not in Lawrence. It's actually in Kansas City, so you got a whole different group of fans, and it's going to be in the soccer stadium. That is a tough get-in next week. But there's a game tomorrow. We're going to break that down with the coach of Utah Tech in just a couple minutes, as Lance Anderson will be on Cofield & Company.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island on ESPN Las Vegas.
It's a Friday show. You heard it. T.I. is the spot. Stephen Willie, UNLV home opener tomorrow. Just heard the student tickets pushing past 7,000. That's a good number. That is a real good number. It's going to add to the environment at Allegiant Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
Willie, are you with us? Because you're doing two things at a time. You're doing the radio show. You're also doing your TikTok show.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's bring in Lance Anderson, the coach of Utah Tech. Coach, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good. I'm very distracted today because my co-host has now decided that he's so into the internet, he's going to do two shows at one time. And I, you know what? I would have to imagine if you're like a linebacker for Utah Tech and you're trying to defend against the go-go, you're like, what the hell is going on right now?
Oh, you're exactly right. Yes, I just, it's like multitasking, I guess. it is definitely not easy.
So tell me what you saw last year that you liked and you thought was dangerous when you were working at Boise as an offensive analyst against this UNLV team.
The thing is, so being on the offensive side of the ball, last year, so I spent a lot of time watching UNLV's defense, and, they are just so multiple in the different looks that they give, just the variety of fronts. It can be four down, it can be odd fronts, and just, the variety within those four down fronts. Sometimes they'll give you that three safety look. Sometimes it's, more conventional. So they definitely pose some problems, not only with their personnel, but I think is very talented, But just the multiple looks that they give you, it's hard to know exactly what to prepare for.
Coach, tell people who are in Vegas about what you've got at quarterback.
We're still kind of settling in, but we will start with Deacon Hill, who is a transfer from Iowa. When McNamara got hurt last year, I think Deacon started like the last 8 or 9 games at Iowa for a good Iowa football team. So he's got some good experience. And we're gonna roll with Deacon, and hopefully we can get him into a good rhythm. And he's a big kid with a strong arm and some good experience.
Coach, I have to ask you, because the last time I was doing some freelance writing here in town, I was still covering some preps. I remember at least on 3 occasions, because he played on the side of town where I was sort of did the coverage. On one of the local TV stations, he had catch of the night. Aaron Holloway at a legacy high school here in North Las Vegas is an absolute beast. I mean, talk about athletic and great hands. What has he done for the offense up there?
He's done a great job. You know, very consistent. You know, good hands. You know, really quality receiver for us. Unfortunately, he's been battling through some injuries and kind of got knocked out early in that Montana State game last week. But I think Aaron's got a great future here for us.
Lance Anderson's with us from Utah Tech. I want to go back to Hill for a second because we wanted to talk about, you know, you doing this program build. You're there, you know, in your first year as the head coach. With a guy like Hill, what's the connect on that one? Because these recruiting connections are crazy now where everyone's pulling players from.
Oh, I'll tell you what, and the portal is kind of it's so different. But, you know, Deacon, he's got some family that lives in the Las Vegas area. He's, you know, from California. He's got a lot of other relatives in Utah. So I think that was a draw for him, you know, just to get back to this part of the country. And, you know, once he came out, I think he felt, you know, very comfortable, felt like this was a situation where he could be successful. And, you know, luckily we were able to get him.
When you pitch the school and you pitch St. George specifically, what do you pitch?
You know, I think, you know, this area, it's a beautiful area. It's a growing area. And I think you can say the same thing for the university. I mean, it's a beautiful campus. It's a growing university. And I know we're still in our infancy in Division I, and we do have a lot of work ahead of us. But I think some of the things they've done here, they've done well. I mean, the stadium is a great FCS stadium. The weight room was just completed before last season. It's very nice. Locker room is nice. So we've got some good core facilities to build around, and the area, I think, are definitely you know, attractions in terms of recruiting.
Kickoff tomorrow at Allegiant. Utah Tech coming down from St. George to play UNLV. We have Utah Tech coach Lance Anderson on the horn. Speaking of pitching St. George, so I talked about Aaron Holloway. You got one guy from the local. I remember doing a 10-story project for a community paper here in 1997, I believe. And I interviewed Greg Croshaw, now in the NJ2CA Hall of Fame, legendary coach up there. And this was the hotbed for them. This is where they went and got athletes, and that's where they wanted to go because there was no other JUCO around in the bordering states where, you know, and it was a quick drive away. Families could feel like it's a home away from home. How important is it for you to get back into Las Vegas?
I think it is very important, and we're going to make that a priority. You know, I look at our roster now right now, and we've got some good Las Vegas kids, but we need more. We're going to have one of our assistant coaches down in Las Vegas tonight going to a couple high school games, and we're going to try to hit Las Vegas hard over the next few weeks or the weeks that we are at home so that you know, we can try to get more Las Vegas kids here because I think the high school football in Las Vegas is getting better and better. We're only, you know, what, about an hour and a half or so away. So I think it's natural that we recruit Las Vegas hard.
When you look at last week's game, right, I mean, it's a 31-7 loss to a team that is generally in the, you know, in the playoffs in the FCS in Montana State, and you could somewhat look at it like a disappointment. Hey, we start off the season at home with a loss, but what did you take from it as far as a learning lesson that you turned into positives now heading into an upstart program like UNLV?
You know, I think some of the positives were, you know, especially like defensively, we really hung in there. We really battled. You know, I felt like we made them earn what they got. And, you know, in the fourth quarter, I think we got into a little bit of a rhythm on offense that was encouraging. That was good to see. So I think we can build on those things. But, I mean, the big thing we take away from week one is we understand against a good football team like Montana State and probably even a better team in UNLV, we have to be able to execute better to at least be competitive in games like that. And that execution has to be in all phases, offense, defense, special teams. We've got to do a better job ourselves just to have a chance to compete against good teams like this. So I hope this week we see a jump in our execution.
What are you seeing when you break down the UNLV offense? And did the go-go look different with a running quarterback out there in Matt Saluka, who can also sling it?
You know, it is the offense, just like I said, the defense is multiple. The offense is as well. And just the variety of formations they come up with, you know, two running backs in the backfield, running backs and receivers in the backfield, tight ends in the backfield, some of the end-over formations, just some of the misdirection and things like that they give you. I mean, it does just cause a lot of fit issues, a lot of eye control issues, things like that. So I think they've got a great package, and just like on the defensive side of the ball, they've got some very, very talented guys on offense. And, yeah, I think with Fluka, they've got another quarterback that is athletic, that can run the football, and that makes it tough for a defense when you got to account for the quarterback as a runner as well.
Utah Tech football in town tomorrow to take on your Rebels as the game is at Allegiant Stadium. And get your tickets at UNLVtickets.com. Season tickets are still available. I wanted to close talking about your background because you have a great background. And first of all, just the college football thoughts overall. What do you think of Stanford and the kind of the position they're in now? And the Pac-12 winds up breaking up. Right now they're in the ACC. It just seems like weird times for Stanford.
It really is. I mean, just overall for me, it's sad because, you know, having coached at Stanford 16 years and having spent that time in the Pac-12 and just been a part of so many great battles there, whether it's, you know, the games against Oregon, the rivalry games against Cal, the games against USC and UCLA, and just you look at all the other great football and great athletes that have come out of the Pac-12, it's a sad day for me to know that conference exists no longer. Just all those great games and those rivalries, even, I mean, USC, Oregon. It's just so many great games. And it's going to be interesting because, you know, for Stanford and Cal have to travel all the way across the country and compete in the ACC. That's, certainly going to be a challenge. I think one of the things, near the end there for me at Stanford, I think Stanford was a little late getting involved in the NIL and things like that, and that is such a big part of college football now. But I think, for that Stanford program to get back on track and get, where we had it for like a decade, I think the NIL part will be big. And it seems like they've bought into that more now. But it's just a part of college football. The transfer portal and NIL are just, I think, things you have to embrace today.
It also feels weird that David Shaw right now is back in the NFL, but it always kind of struck me as an educator and a guy who's valuable to kids. And I know you tell me where does he belong, NFL or college football? I'd love to see him, running another college football program.
David Shaw is a great football coach and an even better person. Yeah, I can't imagine a better person to work for. I know that David now, might prefer the NFL and try to get in there, but whether he gets an opportunity back in the NFL to be a head coach or back in college football, I know he will do a great job, and he's got some great years ahead of him as a coach.
Yeah, there's no NIL in the NFL. There's no having to re-recruit your roster every year. And for some people, that's not really their cup of tea anymore, right?
Exactly. And I know that's, I think, what got frustrating for David there at the end, and a lot of why he resigned was just the fact that with NIL and with these collectives and things like that, you've got people outside of the football staff, outside of the football program, who are having an impact and a say on your roster. And it's just different. I don't know that things are going to change, but that is definitely that, and the transfer portal, it's changed college football.
Coach, we appreciate the time, and really appreciate you coming on a Friday before a game day. We'll see you on the field tomorrow.
Sounds great. Thanks for the time.
There he is, Lance Anderson. New head coach. It's one of 9/10 new coaches on the UNLV schedule, including Willie Fritz last week, who really kind of stepped into a buzzsaw. Rebels were fired up. Their defense was jacked up. And Willie Fritz has a lot of building to do. I think he's also got to figure out what he's going to do at quarterback because he's got a holdover in Donovan Smith, who I think he's 100% healthy now, but he really didn't get a lot of offseason football in. And he looked shell-shocked at the attack that UNLV threw at him. So,
it was a confidence-building win and definitely something that I think UNLV is going to feed off of. As long as this team does not look ahead, which I really don't think it will, I don't think it's in a position to look ahead, regardless coming off of a winning season, a bowl season. The only thing that defeats UNLV tomorrow in this matchup is UNLV.
Well, and I also think, and I'm not claiming that any of the starters wouldn't be max motivated for the game, but I think they're going to rotate in a lot of people. And I think they're twos when they get out there, and a lot of twos played. By the way, between redshirt freshmen and freshmen, UNLV in game one against a Big 12 team played 9 freshmen. 7 true freshmen played. And Odom says all the time when he recruits, he tells them, he's like, if you're good enough,
You're going to play.
There is no, we don't care after a couple of weeks. If you can show it. We don't care, senior down to freshman. Don't care what your label is. You're playing. And they played. Charles Correa got 14 plays. Gorman kid, who, it, like, that kid could play in a lot of places. Jay Beasley from Liberty, he got on there for a handful of plays. There were a bunch of freshmen out there. So you're going to see twos and threes get time against Utah Tech. And you know they're going to be max motivated to try to freaking play well, get stuff on film, and press their coaches.
And the reason earlier I said that I would lay the points, what did we bring up Wednesday? And I'm sure you brought it up all week, but the big question was, can this team be a college football playoff team? Well, guess what? Part of those analytics and metrics they're going to look at is how bad did they defeat Utah Tech? What kind of whooping did they put on them? They don't need no close. And they're not going to be thinking about the playoff, but in general, what Barry Odom's going to be instilling in them, just like he's been saying all week, in that, yes, we should be a top 25. Well, not all week, but at the beginning of his press conference, that he thinks that they should be getting votes or a top 25 team. They need to win like it. Also, they did last week against a Big 12 team. You go on the road to a Big 12 team and beat them down like they did. What are you supposed to do to a Utah Tech team in Allegiant Stadium? You're supposed to win big. So if that's the mindset, that's the mentality, I think that that's what they got to do.
As we said, expecting a good crowd. Boy, if the students show out with these free tickets, north of 7,000.
Oh,
think about how hard it has been for to get the students just to go to the Thomas and Mack, and they really incentivized it a couple of years ago. They were giving away sneakers, and in that building, when you get like 1,500 students, 2,000 students, and that used to make a big difference during the the height of the Kruger era into the early part of the Dave Rice era. The students got to be out there. It's just the volume goes up. There's an energy.
There's a vibe.
I don't have the numbers on this, so you'll probably find them out before the end of the show, but I'm sure they've got north of 500 high school kids, including prospects and parents coming. I think it's going to be north of that. So there's going to be a lot of youngins in the building.
The people that have invested in UNLV from back in the day, the boosters, the money people that, you know, the continual donors that have weathered the storm through some very rough seasons in that Thomas and Mack Center, there are still football diehards that have believed in that program or just gone out there to support as prices have gone down. They've kept their package going. Whether they go, give tickets away. Are you kidding me? So you have diehard, longtime Las Vegans. There are still people that have been here as long as I have or inside of that into the 80s, Steve, that have been season ticket holders. Whether it's 50 of them, 100 of them, whatever it is, there are still longtime faithful UNLV people that are excited about this program and want to see the same thing happen on the basketball court. They're going to be out there to join them 7,000 students plus new fans. It's not going to be surprise me if you're going to see that lower bowl filled with red.
Glenn Carano was on yesterday. Go watch that video. We put it up on YouTube. He was really energetic, really fired up. He's absolutely paying attention.
Yeah.
He played from, what, 73 to 76 under Ron Meyer, was a second-round pick in the National Football League, obviously tied to El Dorado and Caesars and all that. And he's paying attention, man. He's jacked up. He's all ready to go. And tomorrow is a special day because they're going to honor the 1974 team that went 12-1. Make sure you get up to LV Sports Network before Sunday morning. Sign up for our Pro Pick'em presented by Paul Padilaw. Season-long pick straight up. Grand prizes include 65-inch TV, Xbox X Series, or a trip into the DLC Tornado of Cash Machine.